Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember as a kid, one of the things I read about when we studied state history in Nebraska was the trip of pioneers. Pioneers, the settlers that came from Europe, they came to St. Louis, and then they traveled westward to find a new home, to put down for their own a farm or a place they can call their own. Immigrants looking for a place to dwell. This was especially a big thing for me growing up in Nebraska, because both the Oregon and the Mormon Trail came right through where I live, just off the Platte River. And to think about for me what it was like to go on a journey where you didn't know where you were going to stop. Just got in this covered wagon, pulled your family and your horse, and maybe there were several of you guys that were in this wagon train together, and you headed west. You know, what that would have been like, and how exciting that would have been to reach where you, a point to say, this is where we get to stop. This is where our journey has ended. This is where we can be home. I think about that, especially in terms of the wise men. The wise men went on a trip themselves. They saw this star shining, and for them, this star from their astronomy books, they saw that the star meant something special, that the king of the Jews was being born. And so they gathered together their stuff, they made their plans, and they headed west. And they went to the place of Israel, to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they asked King Herod, all right, where is this king of the Jews to be born? And all the city was upset, because Jerusalem knew there was just one king there, and that was King Herod. And anybody that messed with King Herod got knocked down a peg or two, or their life ended. And so they pulled together the scribes and said they go to Bethlehem. And there in Bethlehem, as soon as they left Jerusalem, the Bible says this, that the star that they had seen when it rose, it went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. This is one of the scripture passages, I don't know how this worked, all right? I know that stars are up there and that they kind of shine, but I'm not sure how a star appeared over the house where the child was. But somehow God knew that the destination of the Magi was to get to the Christ child, to get to that place where they were leading them. And I love that their response when they saw this star leading them, that they saw the star and they rejoiced how? Exceedingly with what? Great joy, all right? So can you imagine this exceedingly rejoicing with great joy, because God had led them to their final destination. And when they got to Jesus, they worshiped. And I think that's what Epiphany is all about people getting to Jesus. Maybe they don't know the destination, the road that they're traveling. Maybe they aren't certain where their life is heading, but God knows. And God is drawing everybody on the path that leads to Jesus. That's what Epiphany is all about, God revealing himself to us through Jesus. For us today, we're on a journey. Did you know that? We're on a journey in life. And while we may not have a star guiding us, God has given something that guides us, that directs us, that leads us to his son, Jesus Christ, and shows us how to get to that point of faith to him. Any guesses what our star is? The Bible and the Holy Spirit, definitely. God has given us his word. And his word is like that star that guides us and calls us to follow him. And I think as we enter into a new year, I want to challenge you as God's people, are you watching the star? Are you reading the Bible? Are you looking at the word that God has given you to guide you, to strengthen you, to tell you how much he loves you? As God's people, this Epiphany, let us together open up the book. Let us together be in his word every day, that as we discover Jesus, we can have rejoice exceedingly with great joy, right? Because how many of you, when you got out of bed this morning, said, "Whew, I get to go to church today, yes!" There's kind of a halfway Emma. All right. How many of you can say every day, "I get to open up God's word because it leads me on my path. It gives me strength to face each day, the good and the bad. Today I get to meet Jesus in his word." Because as Lutherans, that's one place where we know that God is found, and in his word and his sacraments, meet Jesus in the word. And as we read the word, I think God's word points us to some very important things. He says, one of the guiding stars for us is to live a life of repentance. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, repentance is hard work. Over this Christmas break, I stumbled across some conversation between Lutheran pastors, and one of the pastors asked, "Why do we, as forgiven saints every Sunday, have to confess, 'I, a poor, miserable sinner'?" Right? Is that really the best description that we can use for ourselves? I mean, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're in Christ. Why do we have to say every Sunday, "I, a poor, miserable sinner"? And I thought, well, that's a good question. And one of my pastor friends that I went to seminary with, Dave Murby, he shared this story from one of his members who has gone through, he had some form of addiction and went through a recovery process. And his friend said that every time they go to a recovery session, they go to that session, they sit down in their chair, and they say, "Hi, my name is John. I'm an addict." And that person that goes, they may be high in that moment. They may have been sober for a day. It may be 10 years of sobriety, but they still go into that recovery session. They sit down and say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I am an addict." Why do they do that? The first step of recovering is admitting what? You've got a problem. Being an addict isn't your identity, but it's remembering where you've come from and where you want to be. It's admitting that I've got a problem and I want to get better. And so I'm here to fight. I'm here for support. I'm here to get better. And so we as Christians, we come to church and we say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," because what's our problem? We're sinners, right? We're sinners. And have you ever come to church on a morning and said, "I really don't feel like confessing my sins. I haven't been that bad this week," you know? we think, well, but how important for us to remember where we've come from, to remember that without Christ in our life, who are we? We're a poor, miserable sinner. And what do we deserve because of our sin? Death and eternal death to come. And so as we come together, this is like our support group, right? That's what Sunday morning is. We come here together to be encouraged God's word, to be encouraged with one another. And we start off by saying, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." We admit our problem because we want to get better. We want to receive what God offers in the absolution, because right after we confess our sins, we hear these glorious words from the pastor who stands here and says, "Your sins are forgiven, not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has accomplished for you on the cross. Jesus died, and by his blood, your sins are forgiven. So now in God's sight, you're pure. You're holy. You're blameless. You are God's beloved child. That's your identity. But don't ever forget where you've come from. Don't ever forget what life is without Jesus Christ. Because if we forget that, we might think, I don't really need a Savior. I don't need Jesus." So every time we say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," we're saying, "I need Jesus because I can't save myself." And so repentance in this new year is one of those stars that we follow in our lives. Another thing that Jesus says is he says that as we live our lives, we need to stay humble. And when Jesus' disciples were arguing amongst themselves who is the greatest, Jesus brought a little child among them and says that unless you become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That there's a certain humility to say, I'm not God, but I know who is. I don't know all the answers, but I know someone who does. And to come before people to say, it's not about what I want, but how can I serve? How can I give? To put the interests of other people before we put ourselves. You know, I think that's how we want to humbly live our lives. And then finally, Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And this involves constant adjustments, taking little steps in our lives to say, Jesus, be in my words. Jesus, be in how I respond in the situation. Jesus, help me to share you, to shine your light to the people around you. It's like a story that I heard about a pastor who was traveling from Chicago to Houston. It's about a two-hour flight. And it was a windy day. And have you ever flown on a windy day and you kind of going up and taking down, you kind of slide around a little bit? But as he was getting off the plane, the pilots were just opening their doors. And Pastor Choco just kind of stood to the side and said, hey, can I ask you a question, airplane pilot? And kind of looking into the pilot, there's all sorts of buttons and things in the cockpit. And he asked, how many times during this two-hour flight did you have to push those buttons? And I don't know. I've heard that planes basically fly themselves. So I was kind of curious to read this. And the airplane pilot actually said, thousands of times during this two-hour flight, we pushed those buttons thousands of times. And the pastor says, really? Why? And the pilot says, well, the whole time that we're flying, we have a specific route. And as we fly, there's always headwinds or tailwinds or sidewinds pushing us off that route. And so we have to push these buttons to keep us on our flight path, to keep us on the route to reach us to our destination. If we don't make those adjustments, we'll end up in the ocean, right? And the pilot thought about that. And the pastor said, you know, isn't that the way we make our lives? That we need to make adjustments to the star that God has given us. Because there's winds in this world, in our culture, in our world that says, do this, live this way, live for yourself. That if we don't constantly keep looking to the star, to God's word, to Jesus, if we don't constantly remember the Savior who died for us on the cross, we get pushed into the ways of the world. And so my friends in Christ in this new year, together, may we fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, that no matter what winds blow this way or that way in our life, that we may reach our final destination, home with Jesus in heaven. Together, let us go on this journey as Jesus guides us through his word and his presence. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, may you direct our every step, that our lives, our words, our actions may be a reflection of the love you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Lord, when we're tempted to go our own way, to do our own thing, when we're tempted to say sin's not that bad, remind us of what it cost you to make us right, to set us on the path of life and salvation, your Son and his death on the cross. Lord, may each and every day we open up your word, rejoicing exceedingly with great joy, that you may guide us and direct us. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.